In any case, there they experience other realities. These are called Alam and Stim in the Leil. Now, so the Alter Rebbe says, comes the Tikkuni Zayir and says, Hashem is Stimu the Chol Stimin. He is hidden even within the hidden worlds. Even from the hidden worlds, He is also hidden. Because the Ein Sof is concealed for everybody. Because He is totally not. It totally does not lend itself to be grasped by any instrument, by any thought. Not even a thought of the highest world. In other words, the problem of grasping Him is not levels. A higher world, a lower world. We're less sensitive, they're more sensitive. It's an essential problem. If you're dealing with a reality, if you're dealing with identity, if you're dealing with a thought, less machshava tfisa beklal. The reality of Ein Sof transcends any type of thought or experience, even the highest type of experience. It's like the famous Heisenberg, one of the great modern physicists, when he was attacked for his developed theories in quantum mechanics and uncertainty principles and so on and so forth, and Einstein and other scientists scoffed at it, he gave an example to describe the mysterious world of the subatomic particles of a fisherman who decided that he's going to make himself famous by once and for all publicizing to the world the size of all the different types of fish, families of fish that exist under the water. So he built an awesome net that could span the seven seas, and he lowered it down one day, and a few days later he lifted it up, and he came up with a declaration to the world that of the millions and millions and millions of species of fish that he has now discovered, there is not one fish that is smaller than 5 inches. What was the problem? The holes in the net were 5 inches long. The Kashna Tzemagid, before he passed away, he turned to his son and he says, I'm not living in a body anymore. So his son told him, his son grabbed his father's arm and he said, what do you mean, father? I feel your body. So the Kajan Samaga told them, the tops mit gif fills the gif. It's hard to translate. You're grasping me with a body, so you're feeling a body. The tools you use, the instruments you use to grasp, that is the experience that you will grasp. So the Alter Rebbe says, even Olam HaSalyonim, even the highest worlds, the highest reality, the highest creature, the highest level of identity, if it's identity, it's not the Ein Sof, it can't grasp the Ein Sof. Therefore, since it can't grasp the Ein Sof, it means in sharper terms, it means the reality of the Ein Sof when it's present somewhere is not meaningful. Because the holes in the net are 5 inches. So it doesn't... It totally doesn't relate to the reality of the Ein Sof. The reality of the Ein Sof could be present there, but it's totally not grasped and experienced. It's not meaningful. They don't experience it in any way. Somebody can come and reveal to you the deepest secrets of the world. Somebody can reveal to you how to create nuclear bombs. Right? Unbelievable secrets. But really, these secrets will have no implications if you don't understand the language. It's not meaningful for you. If you understand the language, it means something. Wow, it's a secret. If you don't understand the language, if the person is communicating the secret in French, you don't understand French, you could sit there. It's really irrelevant. You have the biggest secret. But it doesn't have a relationship with you because you don't understand the language. It's similar to the Gemara story. The Gemara tells in Chagigah Daf Yud Gimel that there was a child who was learning the book of Yecheskel, the book of Ezekiel, the chariot of Yecheskel, the Beis Rabbi in the home of his teacher. And he was learning about Chashmal. In the first chapter of the chariot, we have the description of the Chashmal. Cheshin Mem Lam. It had nothing to do with the word Chashmal in modern Hebrew, which means electricity. It's a different type of electricity. Could be.
Electrum.
I'm saying Chashmal and Yecheskel is a whole other type of electricity. Divine electricity. And the Gemara says, Yotza Eish Mechashmal V'Sarfa. As he was learning it, a fire came out from Chashmal and consumed the child. The child passed away. So the Gemara says, the sages decided, that's the end of Yecheskel. Bikshu Lignus Sefer Yecheskel. They decided, we don't need such books around in the Jewish tradition. It's time to hide it. So Hananya ben Chizkiya saved the situation. And he said it in a sharp phrase. He said, Imzeh chachem hakel chachamim heim. This child happened to be a chachem, but these children don't raise around in the world. I mean, they are such uncommon phenomena that we don't even have to consider this a factor that should determine our decision to conceal Yecheskel. The fact is, I can open up a Yecheskel tonight and read over the pasuk about Chashmal 10, 20, 100 times, and I'm not scared that a fire is going to come out and consume me. Why? Why? Because I could read Chashmal and see it. It's not what that. I don't have a relationship with it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me.
It's a very uncommon experience, and yet
That's a good question. You used to hold a knife on benching, and one of it was taken away because somebody once committed suicide when he said of Nei Yerushalayim. But and how many people do you know would commit suicide because they discuss the rebuilding of Jerusalem and they're mourning the destruction of Yerushalayim?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think the answer is, that is not the reason that determined them taking away the knife. The reason the Alter Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring it. The Alter Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch brings the major halachic reason, and that is because the shulchan of a person is compared to a mizbeach, to an altar. And on the altar there's a pasuk, leisonif ala barzel, don't lift or lay upon the altar iron, which produces swords, because the altar came to lengthen people's lives. But in the middle of the meal, you have to cut the bread, right? Mizbeach ahem, mizbeach ahin. If you want people to eat, you have to give them a knife. During benching, during Birchas HaMazon, when we're saying grace after meals and we're sanctifying our table, we remove the knife. So this reason is used as just an extra motivation for this halacha. But here, this was the primary factor that persuaded the Chachamim to hide it. I think that's the distinction that should be made. But it's an interesting point you bring up. The same is true if somebody is standing before a crowd and he's sharing profound wisdom. So you'll say one person understands the wisdom and gets elevated. Another person understands a little bit. Another person's head begins spinning. Another person gets a headache from the intensity of the message. Another person gets embarrassed. All these distinctions are relative only to people who understand what the lecturer is saying. But somebody doesn't understand, doesn't get humiliated, doesn't get embarrassed, doesn't get a headache, his head doesn't start spinning. Damage is possible where there's a relationship. But there's no relationship, there's no damage, and there's no elevation.
You never hear that because of a dog whistle, someone's eardrums popped. Because of the dog whistle.
You're saying from a dog's whistling,
from a dog whistling,
eardrums don't pop.
Right.
Similar.
No relationship
to that type of vibration.
Right.
The dog's vibrations don't disrupt our eardrums. Well, I don't know if that's true about all types of dog's vibrations. I mean, your dog whistling, you mean?
No, the
dog whistle you're referring to.
Yeah.
The dog whistle, right? Who?
Dogs.
Could be, I don't know. How do we know that? The dogs communicated it.
I heard a shot in the Max Bukharis that the Malchamas didn't come by the Talish over the box and the dogs in the barn, the Yachar's Kerbush are nice.
Okay, so this is what Alter Rebbe brings out here. When you're dealing with Ein Sof, he's hidden from the highest worlds as much as he's hidden from the lowest worlds. Nobody and nothing serves as a receptacle that can grasp the reality of the Ein Sof. So the Ein Sof is found in the lowliest realm as it is found exactly, identically in the highest realm. It's found in the lowest realm in the identical fashion as it's found in the highest realm. There was a chassid, his name was Reb Peretz Chein. The Chein family are descendants of his, and he was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, a chassid of the Mitzvah Rebbe, a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. He expressed this idea beautifully in Yiddish. I want to say how he said it. He said as follows: Dort wo Edelkeit ist kein Keli nicht, ist Grobkeit kein Stidde nicht. Dort wo Edelkeit ist kein Keli nicht, ist Grobkeit kein Stidde nicht. Which means, where refinement doesn't make you a receptacle, coarseness does not turn you into an obstacle. Which means as follows: if Edelkeit, if refinement, if nobility, if spiritual sensitivity doesn't make you more conducive to internalize and experience this light, then being coarse doesn't make you less conducive to experience this light. When you're dealing with a type of reality that you can experience if you're refined, as we spoke about, magnified senses or almond stimmin. A person who has more refined senses, deeper vibrations, more spiritual melodies. So the refinement is what makes you conducive to these lights. So then being coarse is an obstacle. It makes you inconducive. It doesn't allow you to appreciate this light. It doesn't allow you to internalize it. It doesn't allow you to experience it. But when you're dealing with a level of reality, or reality, where the greatest refinement and nobility will not bring you one step closer to experience it, because leis machshava tfisa beklal, the highest level of refinement is not a receptacle for the Ein Sof, because the Ein Sof transcends any identity, even the most noble and refined identity. So the Ein Sof is present within the highest identity, not by virtue of its refinement. Because the greatest refinement doesn't make it a keli, a vessel, a receptacle for the Ein Sof. So the Ein Sof is present within the most refined world, not by virtue of its refinement, but by virtue because the Ein Sof is present everywhere. By its own virtue, not because it's being received and appreciated. So then, Grobkeit ist kein Stidde nicht. Then the most coarse being is not an obstacle either. And the same Ein Sof is present in the same exact fashion in the lowest reality. And again, this is true about the soul as well. This was the metaphor of the soul. The central nervous system is not in the liver. The liver is a distinguished part of our body, but the liver is not a receptacle for the central nervous system. It's not a vessel in which the soul can dwell as the brain is. The brain, on the other hand, is conducive. Its anatomy is conducive to experience the soul in a way that the liver can't experience it. The soul's power as a source of life for the body expresses itself in the brain. But when you're dealing with the innate soul, the brain is also not a receptacle for it. As much as the liver or the foot is not a receptacle for it, the brain is also not a receptacle for it. So the essence of the soul is present in the brain, not because the brain experiences it, appreciates it, internalizes it, but rather the soul is there because of its own endless capacity. In the yeshivisha term, the essence of the soul is present in the brain. The fact that it's present in the brain is not a din in the brain. It's a din in the soul. The element of the soul that vitalizes the body, the second stage of the soul, that finds itself in the brain. It's not only a din in the soul, it's a din in the brain. The brain is conducive for it. But the essential essence of the soul is there in the soul, in the brain, not because of the brain. It's not a din in the brain, it's a din in the soul. So therefore, it's in the liver, and it's in the kidneys, and it's in the foot, and it's in the fingers, and it's in your abdomen, and it's every single limb and organ and tissue and cell and neuron of the entire body. They used to say, in Russia, the trains had three classes. First class, second class, third class. First class was extraordinary. You had your own cabin. It included a bed, and it included a desk, and it was like a hotel room on the train. Second class was intermediary. You didn't have your own bed, and you didn't mamash have your privacy, but it was roomy, and it was spatial, and it was very comfortable. And the third class was disastrous. So who would travel in the first class? They say in the first class would travel the very, very, very wealthy Jews, very, very wealthy human beings, and also the kapzonim, the poor people. In the second class, you had the regular well-to-do people. What's the reason? So Chassidim would always say, because the poor people are anyway not traveling on their own cheshbon. They're anyway traveling on somebody else's cheshbon. The well-to-do people are paying for the trip on their own. You're paying for the trip on your own. It was very hard to afford first class. But if you're anyway putting the expenses on somebody else, you can travel with first class. What do you have to travel with second class? If somebody else is paying for it, so you take the best. Chassidim would say this, that if you're traveling with your own powers, so then you go second class. If you travel with your Rebbe's powers, then you can go first class already, because it's not your own, you're not going with your own identity, you're going with a higher power. But in a similar vein, what Alter Rebbe is saying is, the essence of the soul is not there in the brain because of the brain's virtues, because of the brain's development, because of the brain's skill. It's there because of itself. Because of its own endless capacity, actually the brain is totally inconducive for it. So the most refined limb and the most coarse limb are identical. They're both not receptacles for this level of reality. And the same is true about the worlds. The highest worlds and the lowest worlds are both equally inconducive to experience the Ein Sof. So if the Ein Sof is in the higher worlds, in the same way it's in the lower worlds. And Alter Rebbe says, V'ahevdul shebein elam esolyeinim v'tachtainim. The only difference between the highest worlds, the higher worlds, and the lower worlds, who mitzadam shachas achayis, asher ein seif baruch hu mamshich hu meir, bebchines gili me'ahelem, is with regard to the flow of vitality, which the blessed Ein Sof causes to flow and illuminate in a manner of revelation out of concealment. Shazah echad mea taimim. Shashpa vam shachasachayis mechune b'shem oir al derech moshel. And this is one of the reasons, he said in parentheses, why the influence and flow of this vitality is in Jewish mysticism figuratively called oir. It's always called light. What is the Alter Rebbe saying here? When we're dealing with the Ein Sof itself, the highest worlds and the lowest worlds are identical. What does it mean they're identical? Malach Michal, the angel Michal asks, where is God? And a five-year-old child asks, where is God? In the same fashion. Ein Sof is found in both of them identically, and it doesn't express itself in both of them identically. Malach Michal, the great highest angel, doesn't express the Ein Sof more than a speck of dust. And the Ein Sof doesn't find itself in the highest angels or souls more than it finds itself in my heart and in your heart. But then there is something else. There is still a difference between the higher worlds and the lower worlds. Half of Tanya, or a lot of Tanya, is based on that as well. That is something else, Dr. Rebbesis. There's Hamshacha Sachayis Bebchinis Gilui Me'ahel. There's something which we call Gilui. What does Gilui mean? Gilui, revelation, what does he mean by Gilui? It's important to understand this. Is that element of the Ein Sof that is meaningful for us. And that's never the Ein Sof itself. The Ein Sof itself is not meaningful to us. Because our holes in the net are 5 inches long. It's not meaningless. It doesn't speak to us. It can be here in its full intensity, and it is here in its full intensity. But it's like chashmal. And this is a type of chashmal for everybody. Even that child could not experience Ein Sof. Chashmal he could experience, but not Ein Sof. It's not meaningful for us. So this means it's not begili. What does it mean when it says helem and gili, concealed and revealed? What does it mean? Hashem is behind the closet and then he peeks out of the closet. Gili means something that is meaningful for us. What does it mean, something that's meaningful for us? The elements of divinity that can be experienced, internalized, and appreciated within our senses. In higher worlds in one way, and in lower worlds in another way. But this is not the Ein Sof. This is we call a ray of the Ein Sof. Why do we call it a ray? An oy. Why do we call it a ray? So he says, let's examine the sun and the rays of the sun. When the sun is shining bright, and its rays extend throughout the earth, throughout the cosmos, nobody's going to say that in the ray of the sun that is transmitted to illuminate this particular room in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, you're not going to say that in this ray is transmitted the entire intensity, the entire light, the entire heat, the entire energy of the sphere, of the very ball of the sun. It's ridiculous. That would burn us up. It would be impossible to contain. However, something of the intense, awesome, titanic power of that sphere that we call the sun is transmitted to us through the rays of the sun. This is what Alter Rebbe is saying. The vitality, the energy of the Ein Sof that is communicated to us and is meaningful for us, which means it can be appreciated by us, is always called in Kabbalah Oyer. That's why everything is called Oyer, light. What do the Kabbalists try to convey when they say light? The light of Ein Sof, the light of Atzilus, the light of Elikus. Why Oyer Ein Sof? What do you mean the light? What type of light? Godliness is not light. They're trying to convey one element, and that is that the essence of the Ein Sof is not being communicated here. In fact, the essence of the Ein Sof is present here in its full intensity. And in that, there is no difference between the highest realms and the lowest realms. It's identical. Atzilus and Asiya are mamash the same. Adam Kadman and the lowliest creature in this world in that sense are the same. The highest worlds, I should say. In Oyr, what does Oyr mean? Hashem, as he expresses the energy that is meaningful for creatures, that is meaningful for machshava, for thought, for awareness, for consciousness, which is only Oyr, which means it's only a ray, doesn't convey the essence. But that is already the element of godliness that is meaningful. It can be experienced and appreciated by the world and by the worlds. Here, there's a major difference. And back to the soul again. You see here the very brilliant comparison Dr. Rebbe is making. The soul in its pristine nature, the brain doesn't appreciate it. Nobody appreciates it. There's one element, one tune of the soul that the brain appreciates. And that the body appreciates. They pick up on that. The essence of the soul, the body doesn't pick up on. Even the brain doesn't pick up on. And therefore it's in the entire body identically. Then there's the Oyr. Oyr is that element of the soul that can be appreciated by a brain. That can be appreciated by a leg, by an arm. And here there are differences. The difference between higher worlds and difference between lower worlds. The difference between different organs. Different compartments. It's interesting. In the books of Jewish philosophy, you won't find the word Oyr when they discuss godliness. What's the word you find? Shefa. Dariza, you'll always find Oyr. Kabbalah.
Yeah, but the Rebbe wants the friendship in Oyr and
Shefa. So this is what Alter Rebbe means here. In other discourses, he says clearly, what's the difference between Shefa and Oyr? Shefa, from the word like hashpa, flow. In Iyov, there's actually a word. Shifas mayim. Shifas mayim is a flow of water. What's a flow of water? A flow of water is If you have a waterfall, for example, the water that was on the top, that very same water comes down to the bottom. The substance, the very substance that was on top, comes down to the bottom. However, light conveys a different message. The sphere itself does not, the sphere of the sun does not come into this room. It remains remote, it remains aloof, it remains sublime. We appreciate something of it, but we totally don't have any knowledge of what the sun is. We have no inkling as to its intensity, as to its nature, to its identity. One element that we experience and we can tolerate, we get. So the Ein Sof is Mamshich Or. What does it mean the Ein Sof is Mamshich Or? The Ein Sof allows itself to be experienced in a way that is attainable and comprehensible by various creatures. And that is what we call the Or of Ein Sof. And the purpose for this is, the Alter Rebbe says, the purpose of this process of Or is L'hachiyas Ha'olam is V'abriyim Shebahem. To animate the worlds and the creatures that are in the worlds. Here we have the distinction of different realities. The higher worlds receive this vitality and light in a somewhat more revealed form than do the lower. It's interesting that Alter Rebbe says here, Gilik Tzas. Tzas Yais. This is the difference between Atzilus and Asiya is not Tzas. But relative to what he wants to bring out in this chapter is Ktsas. Because the real thing, the real essence is not being expressed in either. So if, relative to this, he says, in the higher worlds, there is more a greater revelation of Oyr. V'chol abruyim shebehem, all the creatures therein in the higher worlds, mekablim kol echad, each of them receive the revealed aspect of divine vitality, each according to its capacity and according to its character. Just as in the analogy, each bodily organ receives vitality from the brain according to its character and according to its nature. And Alter Rebbe adds, here's something interesting. You would think that the divine energy is generic. And it's just the different characteristics of the higher worlds. They are what manipulate the divine energy according to their spiritual anatomy. So the Alter Rebbe says, no. Shehitchu nasu pchinas. Hamshacha apratis asher erin seiv baruchu mamshichu meirloi. This is the characteristic and form of the particular flow with which the blessed Ein Sof imbues and illuminates it. Which means the Ein Sof itself is custom made. It communicates light and energy in a particular form to this particular creature so that she experiences divinity in a way that she can appreciate it. And Alter Rebbe here again is referring back to what he explained in the metaphor that the 613 limbs and organs of the body don't begin within the body. They begin within the soul. The soul is not a generic energy that is then manipulated and used by the different parts of the body in a different way. The soul itself has 613 spiritual organs and functions. The map of the body exists within the soul, and the soul is a map of the body. However, the soul in its pristine state transcends this map. However, within its endless capacity, you have this map also included. And the brain picks up on this map. So the same is true about the Ein Sof. The Ein Sof itself, included within its endless capacity, it also has all the particular characteristics. But the process of Ur begins when the Ein Sof contracts itself and allows itself to be experienced by these particular creatures within a particular form of divinity. These are the higher worlds. The lower worlds, afilu haruchnim, even the spiritual ones. They don't receive the divine life force in quite such a revealed form as it's received in the higher worlds. Rak b'levushim rabim, only by means of many garments. Asher ein seiv baruchu malbish behem achayiz v'ha'oid asher mamshichu me'elam lachyosim, wherein the blessed Ein Sof invests the vitality and light which he causes to flow and shine on them in order to animate them. So the higher worlds receive a light of divinity and an energy of godliness in a much more revealed fashion, so that their particular characteristics are transparent and they express godliness. However, the lower worlds, even the spiritually lower worlds, receive the divine energy invested through many garments. V'kol kach atzmu v'gavru halavushim. Asher ein tzev baruch hu malbish amaster b'emar v'achayiz. These garments, where the Ein Sof invests and conceals the energy and vitality, are so strong and powerful, ad asher borer b'yolam hazachumri v'agashmi mamash, that through this, with this life force and light, he created this world that is so corporal and so physical and brute. In other words, these garments become so intense, so overwhelming, and so dominating that they allow for the energy to create a physical and a brute world. And Hashem creates and animates it by the vitality and the energy which he draws down and shines forth unto it. It's a type of energy, a type of light, which is clothed, hidden, and concealed. Within the numerous and powerful garments that hide and conceal the light and the vitality, to the extent that no light or vitality whatsoever is visibly revealed. When you look at this world, what do you see? You see corporal and physical things that appear lifeless and dead, and you see nothing else. Gazing at corporal things, and he's referring here particularly not to human beings, and not even to animals, and not even to vegetation or produce. But if you look, for example, on sand and minerals, inanimate matter, the part of doimim, the physical orb of the earth, for example, it can cause a person to imagine them as utterly lifeless. Inside, ach betoicham, inside, yesh oir v'chayis amahavayis meyayin liyesh tamid, they contain a light and a vitality which constantly create them, ex nihilo, from nothing to something, shalayach zedulis ayin v'efes kishohayu, so that they shall not revert to nothing and naught as they had been prior to their creation. V'oir zeh umayin saif baruchu, and this light is not just atomic energy that vibrates and moves and is really alive, is very much alive. He says, deeper and deeper you will discover that within every single element and within every entity there is light from Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Rakshan Islabish Belavushim Rabim, except that it is clothed in many garments. And since it's enclosed in many garments, it impacts the creature, it impacts the entity, it impacts this particular object. But nonetheless, when one views it from outside in, it seems lifeless. Even when one views it on a deeper level and sees deeper elements within it, still never not necessarily appreciates the oil that comes from the Ein Sof which is in it. So Alter Rebbe says, here lay the distinction between the higher worlds and the lower worlds. When you're dealing with the Ein Sof itself, they're actually identical. When you're dealing with the oir that Hashem allows to flow from the Ein Sof, that He allows to shine from the Ein Sof, which means those elements of godliness that can be appreciated through our identity, here there's a difference. The higher worlds receive it in a much more revealed fashion, and therefore they're godly, they're spiritual, they're sensitive, they're almond stimmin, and almond disgalion, particularly this world, receive air that we internalize, but we don't internalize the fact that it's godliness. On the contrary, you can look at a part of the world that seems dead. Not only doesn't it look godly, it doesn't even look alive. It looks dead, it looks lifeless. There's no sense of spirituality, not only godliness, there's no sense of a higher type of life, of intangibility. It seems totally inanimate, totally corporal. And the truth is, within it, you have Eir Ein Sof that's vibrating and allowing it to exist every single moment. And he concludes the commercial cost of Beit Chaim, as is written in Eitz Chaim, Sha'or v'chayis kader aretz achumri. the light and vitality of the physical orb of the earth, which is seen by mortal eyes, who memalchus, the malchus da asiya, is derived from malchus of asiya. What is malchus of asiya? Within the four worlds, each of the worlds has 10 spheres, and each sphera includes all of the other spheres and emanations. The lowest is malchus. But malchus itself has within it the higher spheres. So therefore, there's chachma of malchus, and bina of malchus, and chesed of malchus. Then you have the malchus element of malchus. And in that itself, in the world of asiya. So the malchus element of malchus of the world of asiya, which is the lowest rung in the divine emanations, this is what gives energy to our physical globe, our physical orb. Ubetoicha, yet in it is contained, Arizal says in Eitz Chaim, malchus the Yetzirah v'chuli. The malchus of the next higher world, the world of Yetzirah, and so on. Within malchus of Yetzirah, you have malchus of Bria, and within that, you have the higher levels, Afshar b'teich kulon yutzviriz datzila. So that in all of them, which means even in the level, in the levels of malchus of all of the worlds, including malchus of Asiya, we have the 10 spheres of the loftiest world, the world of Atzilas, Amiyuchad b'ma'atzila nein seyev baruch hu. And the 10 spheres of Atzilas are united with their emanator, the blessed Ein Sof. So even the physical orb of earth contains godly light and vitality through the light passing through the spheres. From Atzilas down all the way to Asiya, until Malchus, the Malchus of Asiya, but somehow it's still connected to Atzilus, and therefore it has that Eir which is connected with the emanator, even within the Kadar Aretz of Eilam Asiya. So this compares in the soul as well, What do we see from this Eitz Chaim? This world has the life from Atzilus, just like Atzilus has life from Atzilus. But in this world, it's totally concealed through garments, unlike in Atzilus, and less in Bria, and even less in Yetzirah. But when you're dealing with the essence is identical everywhere, just like in the soul. The essence of the soul is found in the entire body in an identical fashion. The ray of the soul is experienced in the lung, unlike it's experienced in the toe. And in the heart, unlike in the thigh or the kidney. And then there's the intermediary stage, the brain. And that's the theme of chapter 52. The brain, which is the central nervous system, and the intermediary between the soul itself and all of the various functions of the body, that is the third stage, or the intermediary stage, that's the subject of chapter 52. And this is the beginning of the reconciliation between the contradiction mentioned above. Meloich al aretz kvoid, there's no difference between the Holy of Holies and the streets of Danzig. The essence is present everywhere in the same fashion. When we're dealing with Eir, when we're dealing with the light, here there is a major distinction, and one could never compare the arm to the leg. And certainly one could never compare the brain to the arm or to the leg.
The Or Ein Sof, it gives its kayak. Is it the Ein Sof itself, the essence, is it Mashpia on the Or Ein Sof in order to give us new theism to the world?
The Or comes from the Etzem. It's just like the ray of the sun. That's why. Where does the ray come? Without the Etzem, there's no Or. You don't experience the Etzem. You don't experience the Ein Sof. That's inexperienceable by us. Less machshava tfisa beklal. Even the highest worlds experience Eir Ein Sof. What does it mean they experience Eir Ein Sof? They experience one element, one component which suits them, which they can appreciate, which they can internalize. But the Ein Sof itself cannot be internalized and appreciated by anybody, even the highest worlds. And vu'edelkeit is kenkelinisht, is grabkeit kensterinisht.
Will we be able to experience what the machine
comes? Yes. I hope now.
Then we'll get it. We'll all have the divine illumination.
Yes.
So basically,
the divine illumination you can have now. We're talking about a different type of divine illumination. The raw truth.
Yeah.
The naked truth of divinity.
Yeah, but would we all be buttle and absorbed?
That's the whole revolution. That's the whole revolution. That's chapter 36, and Alter Rebbe discussed this discussed that in previous chapters.
That's why it's called Or Nitzvah.
That's Or.
Because Or needs to, in order to be called Or, it needs to have someone who's receiving the revelation.
So and Or never communicates the essence.
Can it reflect the essence?
It reflects something of the essence, but not the entire essence. It doesn't encapsulate the essence. Light does not encapsulate the luminary. I'll conclude, I think, as a summation to chapter 51 with this interesting story. If one studies this chapter well, I mentioned it's quite fascinating to observe how the Alter Rebbe talks about a brain more than 200 years ago. In ancient times, the brain generally was deemed as quite insignificant. Aristotle, for example, believed that the entire significance of the brain is that it cools off the passion of the heart. When the blood of the heart goes to the brain cools it off. That's basically what the brain does. The brain is a kalta bria, is a cold creature, and it just calms down, but everything else is in the heart.
It's a condenser.
Now there's one element of truth to that. Alter Rebbe even brought in chapter 3 that Yesod HaMayim is connected to the brain, the element of water. So Kabbalah, you have that concept. But that was basically the brain. As time went on, particularly in the 1600s and 1700s, where modern medicine where biologists and doctors, scientists began breaking ground in the field of medicine, more and more they came to discover the magic of the brain. Particularly in our own century, the brain was revealed not just to be significant, but basically to be the significant factor in the human body that governs and controls and runs every single detail of the body. And it's fascinating to see in chapter 51, that Alter Rebbe alludes to it. He doesn't only allude to the fact that the brain includes all the life. He already alludes to the fact that in the brain you have every function in a detailed fashion. He discusses the fact that in the brain you don't only have the central power plant where the soul's reality as a source of life is present. But in the brain, it's already outlined in a particular fashion. And on the contrary, the functions of every organ are just a continuum and an extension of what's happening in the brain. That means the real function of sight is in the brain, and the real function of smell is in the brain, and the real function of mobility is in the brain. And she says this clearly in chapter 51. So it brings to mind a story. I'm not explaining it with this story. It just brings to mind a story. In 1894, 1895, there was a revolution in the field of medicine where the professors and researchers discovered the particular nerves in the brain that are connected to memory and to concentration. The 1800s and the early 1900s was the time when there was a lot of breaking ground in this area, and they discovered that particular nerve, or those particular nerves in the cerebrum. And they discovered the reason that perplexed everybody for so many years, that when you want to remind yourself something that happened in the past, you lift your head often. And when you want to concentrate and indulge in something deeper and deeper, very often we lower our head. And they discovered the reason is because when we lift this nerve, it helps memory. On the contrary, when we lower it, it helps for concentration. And that's the reason for this human habit or function. There was a Jew, his name was Reb Menachem Mendel Schneerson. He was the youngest brother of the Rebbe Rashab, whom I mentioned earlier, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he came running home to his brother, one evening with a newspaper. And he came running into the house. And he said, "Brother, did you hear the news?" And he told him the whole story. The Rebbe Rashab was then, he just finished washing, and he was walking back to the table to make hamotzi on the bread. When his son told the story, he said that his father couldn't tolerate when people interrupted him between washing and eating bread, even though they didn't ask him to say anything. But even in thought, he didn't like it. He didn't enjoy it. But his brother was so excited that he told him the news. So he sat down, he made hamotzi, and they ate. After benching, he asked them to wait for a moment. He went into the next room. A few minutes later, he brought back original manuscript of the Mittler Rebbe, son of the Alter Rebbe, original manuscript, and he writes this whole thing in a Maimer, in a Hasidic discourse. So his brother exclaimed, the whole thing, that there's a nerve, and it's connected to memory and concentration, and you lift it and you lower it. So his brother was shouting, so the Mittler Rebbe was a professor. He says, no, the Mittler Rebbe knew all of this, how it existed in Adam HaElyon. In the higher spiritual worlds, in the Adam HaElyon, in the primordial man, you have all of this. And that's how we knew it in this physical world. Have a good night and a wonderful week.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.